If you're going to be successful, you got to set priorities. And I want to talk about keys to success is priorities, spiritually and naturally. And, you know, on Wednesday night, I like to try to give you guys some natural as well as spiritual. You know, anybody ever heard of a man by the name of Tom Landry? He was a very successful football coach. But what most people don't know, he also was a successful defensive back for the New York Giants before he ever became a coach. In fact, he played and coached as a player back in the day. And somebody asked him, he said, "Why have you been so successful?" And he said this, that I did. He said, "Back in 1958, I did something that everyone who must do if they're going to be successful. I determined my priorities. God, family, then football." You know, being successful in life is about having the right priorities, both spiritually and naturally. You know, how many of you have heard the expression, "Don't get the horse before the cart"? Or the cart before the horse, yeah. Keep main things. What we're talking about is keep first things first. Keep your priorities right. You know, one of the greatest battles that people fight are getting their priorities right so that they can be success, no matter whether it's spiritually or whether it's in your vocation. It's not enough to know the right thing to do. We've got to be doing the right things. You know, our goals in life should be to manage by our priorities, not by our problems. You know, horses pull, they don't push. That's why you have to get the cart behind the horse and not in front of it. If you want to make any progress in life, you got to keep first things first, prioritize. Matthew 6:33 in NLT says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, living righteously, and he will give you everything you need." The contemporary English says, "But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well." The New Testament for everyone says, "Make your top priority God's kingdom and his way of life, and all these things will be given to you as well." Here he's telling us what our number one and top priority should be in life. Now, some people live this verse this way: "Seek all the things for your life, then if you have any time left over, add the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Come on now, don't look at me like that. That's the way some people do. I mean, they only have time for God when they are in trouble. They only have time for God when everything is going wrong. Nothing's going right. You know, we got to realize, blessed are those who keep the main thing the main thing. In other words, God's things first, then God will help us with our things. Anybody ever heard of the Wanamaker department stores? They were started way back in the 1800s up in the Northeast by John Wanamaker. He was very active in Christian causes. He served as the president of the world's largest Sunday school. He spoke widely, and he spoke and advised many Christian leaders. In fact, being D.L. Moody. On top of that, he was named the Postmaster General of the United States. When someone asked him how he could hold all these positions at once, he replied, "Early in life, I read, 'Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Sunday school is my business. The rest are things.'" I want tonight to help us to see where our priorities are so that we can enjoy life more than we ever have and experience the abundance of God and accomplish more. You know, many people start getting in mature in age and they think, well, there's nothing else left to do. Now, listen, I'm not interested in retiring. I may slow down, and you probably notice I'm slowing down a little bit because I got Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise and these others here that can step up to the plate. But, you know, too many people, they may retire in their regular life, but then they retire on God too. There's no retirement with God. You continue to work in the vineyard for God. You know, if you have your priorities right, you can live a worry-free life. I have a little book back there called How to Live Worry-Free. Let's read Matthew 6. Go up there, verse 25. Be already there on verse 20. And I'm going to read this in New Living. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Is a life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they work to make their clothing. Then don't work. how they don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderful for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Now, these are the verses in front of Matthew 6:33. These verses tell us that God knows all about our problems. He knows what we need. And he doesn't tell us not to be concerned about him. He doesn't tell us not to work. What he is trying to get across to us, don't worry about this. You do what? Seek me and my kingdom and my righteousness, and then these things will be there. That's what he's saying. Okay? See, worry is the opposite of faith. Worry keeps you from putting your full trust in God. You know, the truth of the matter is that when you get into worry, it hinders not only your spiritual side, but it also hinders your natural side. It opens the door for fear. You don't sleep. You don't eat right. You don't make right decisions. Continual worry burdens you down. And we're not designed to worry. You know, worry will cause you to have physical problems. You know, we need to put our trust in God. My dad was one, he never worried about anything. I mean, if you knew him, he never worried about anything. One time, mother got upset at him about something, and she said, I don't guess you'd worry about it if me and the kids both died. He said, why'd you be worrying about it then? You're gone. That's exactly what he said. See, a lot of you people think you knew that. Thought y'all knew Kenneth E. Hagin because all you heard him would preach was his faith messages. But he was a lot more than that. His greatest thing was his love walk was his greatest thing. And his total trust in God. His priorities were God first, everything else second. That's the way he lived his life. I lived in the house with him until I left to go off to boarding school when I was senior in high school, but I was still in his house until I went off to be in the Army. And then I lived with him for 31 years behind him, making sure that what he felt like needed to be done was accomplished. And, you need to learn, if you're working for somebody, it doesn't matter if you think it's what needs to be done or not. If that's what they want done, then make it happen. I've told a lot of people that worked for me and Dad wanted it. I've told them, I said, you either make it happen or I'll get somebody that will. Someone said, oh, that's tough. No, we need to learn how to be tough in life. And we got to be the same way with the Word of God. We either got to take the Word of God and bust the devil across the top of the head, because he is not a gentleman. All he knows is force. So we take the force of the Word of God and come it out of our mouth and apply it. Amen. See, Jesus explains that our number one thing in life is to seek him and his kingdom. You know, you may be in a position where you've made him, he's been your savior, but you haven't followed after him correctly. It hadn't become your number one thing. You know, don't begin to worry. Begin to quote the Word of God and trust God. I don't care what it is. You do what you necessary in the natural, and you do what you have to do on the spiritual side. That comes with healing. That comes with everything with God. There are natural things that we can do naturally and spiritually in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. So many times people, because they're believing God, they want to throw the natural out. Oh, I'm believing God, so I'm not going to work. Well, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. What's the matter with believing God and working at the same time? Now I'm going to throw you a curve. The Apostle Paul did it. Go study his life. He sponsored his missions by working as a tent maker. And then he did the spiritual on the side. We need to realize it. There's a story about a guy by the name of Richard Green in North Carolina. He learned the lesson of seeking God first while he's in college. He one day was trying to balance his checkbook, and he was fretting over all of his bills, and he started to grow agitated and afraid. Where will all this extra money come from? Lord, you're going to have to help me with my bills. He finished balancing his checkbook, and he noticed the final digit on the calculator said 6.33. He had $6.33 left in his bank account. And suddenly it dawned on him. He had just read Matthew 6:33. And he began to laugh and say, thank you, Lord, for the message. Shortly afterward, he received an unexpected scholarship. A little later, a friend handed him a check that paid his rent. God provided for his needs throughout college, and later, Richard became the director of public relations for the Trans World Radio that was beaming the message of the gospel around the world. That used to be back in the day. We had, in that day, that was shortwave radio, and they beamed the gospel. Some of you don't even know about that. You see, God had a way of reminding him of what he said in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added. What things? Everything up there from 25 to 32. Everybody always reads 6:33, but do they understand what it's talking about? It's talking about putting God first in your life, and then these things will be added. Actually, it didn't say you'd have to believe for them. It said they'd be added. You know, sometimes you go to a doctor and they tell you to do certain things, and that's all that needs to be done to help your condition because you're not treating your body right. Well, Dr. Jesus is telling us to have a worry-free life. Don't worry about things. Seek me, seek God, and I'll take care of you. Y'all awful quiet tonight, and I'm having a good time teaching. So I'm just going to keep teaching whether y'all say anything or not. I trust I'm getting something across to you. You better be glad that I was thrown in the pulpit as a 26-year-old, or maybe a 27 by then, I guess, to preach every Sunday night for 6 months, and I just got out of the Army about a year before, every Sunday night for 6 months, and people were sitting out there that had the hope, that had the Holy Spirit longer than I was old. And brother, they sat there. So I just preached anyway. You ever notice I do that? When you have the right priorities, you can begin to understand and experience how much God cares for you. Let's look at Matthew 22:35-39 in the New Living. One of them, an expert of the religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Jesus, which is the most important, the commandment of the law? Moses, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Secondly, the equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. Now here he gives you the number one and the number two commandments for seeking the kingdom of God. The priorities that are in the kingdom of God. Love God with everything you got. And then love your fellow man the same way. One missionary put it like this. If you take care of the things that are important to God, he'll take care of the things that are important to you. He wants to be first in our lives. His blessings can't flow to you if he's not number one in your life. You know, as he addresses the things in 6:25-32, these are legitimate concerns: clothes, food, shelter, daily needs. But he assures us that God, if we'll do put the priorities right with God, then he'll take care of us. Now, we have to let him be number one in our lives, but then on the other hand, we have to prioritize our natural lives. Doing things that we should do. That's like eating healthy. I'm not a health nut, but you know, some people don't eat healthy at all. But, you know, doing something, getting proper rest, getting proper vitamins. See, everybody wants to go the spiritual side. But let me tell you what, this life that we live down here, it's a two-track life, a spiritual life and a natural life at the same time. We are part of two worlds at the same time, the spiritual world and the natural world. But too many people, they just want to be over here on the spiritual side, and then some of the others just want to be on the natural side. Everything's natural. Even though they've accepted Christ as their personal Savior and are born again, still it's all natural. And it comes back to what I say all the time, the natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. Now, when we have the right priorities, actually you can accomplish more and be a blessing. Now look at Philippians 3:13-14. You know this, I read it to you all the time. This is Paul talking. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Here, Paul states his priorities. The past is not important. What's important is out in front of us. You know, too many people wallow in the memories of yesteryear, of what they did wrong, how they messed up. Let me tell you something. I got this from a song I heard the other day, and I really like it. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. All of us, I don't care who we are or what our name is, we are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have got some things in the past that we wished hadn't happened. But when we are born again, that is all wiped away. But how many people think about that because the devil tries to bring it up to them? We need to get, you know, if Paul spent time remembering about what he hadn't done in the past, he'd have never got anything done in the future. You got to remember, he killed Christians. He was the one that antagonized the people, and where I come from down in Texas 6, they say, ag them on to throw stones and throw on Stephen. In fact, he held the coats while they did it. If he had kept thinking about all of that, what he had done, he would have never been able to do what he did for God. See, priority is not to, one priority of Paul's, and it ought to be yours, was not to remember the past, but focus on the future, what God has for you in the future. In Van Crouch's book, Winning 101, he said, choose to be busy about the right things for the right purpose, and you'll get the right results. Some of y'all know who Van Crouch is. You know, we accomplish a whole lot more in life, both spiritually and naturally, when our priorities are right. You know, as I close out on this, you know, we probably need to take Coach Landry's priority and modify it a little bit. God, family, then everything else. All of you know that I've always been a strong family person. My father was. The family is important. God, I tell preachers this all the time. God made the family before he ever made a preacher. And I tell people all the time, if you win the whole world for Jesus, lose your own family, you ain't done much. My dad used to say that all the time. See, God, family, and then everything else. Make sure that God is number one in your life. Make sure that family's in church. Make sure they read the Bible. I had a guy one time, I told him he's crazy. He was a student. He would punish his kids by making them go upstairs and read a book of the Bible. I told him, I said, you want them not to ever read the Bible again? I said, that's not what you do. Well, bless God, they're going to know the Word of God. I said, yeah, they're not going to know it the way you're doing it. Somebody said, well, you sort of strong. Yeah, I am strong. And when I know I'm right, I'm strong, and you ain't gonna intimidate me, push me back. How many of you have been in this church a long time? How many of you have ever seen me intimidated? Some of you remember what happened up at a hospital a few years ago. Because I was standing in the gap for one of our parishioners, and I'll do it again. I believe in what's doing right, and I'll stand strong in it. I don't care what's right. The Bible is the Bible. I believe the Bible. It God, the family, then the other things. If you'll put these priorities and get them right in your life, you'll find out that your life will be a whole lot better. I try to live this way myself. I learned it from my dad. Somebody said, well, do you always make it? Well, everybody trips their toe every once in a while. But that don't stop me. I keep on going. I say, Lord, forgive me, and I go on. Now, as we look at priorities, we'll have to battle, because the enemy will do everything he can to get your priorities off. So let me give you some things that'll help you. Number one, make sure Jesus is always number one. The things of God is always number one. Your focus is on eternal things, just not on temporal things, natural things. I didn't say you didn't focus on natural things. Yeah, you need natural goals. You need these natural things in your natural life. I have set goals, natural. My dad used to tell me, he said, son, set your goals high. And if you only achieve half of them, then you've done some. If you set them low and achieve all of them, you hadn't done much. That's Kennedy Hagin said that. Some of y'all, I've had people come up and say to me, well, I don't think he thought like that. I don't think he said that. I said, well, you didn't live in his house, and you don't have his DNA, and you don't have any right to say anything. Get out of my face. I'm serious. You don't know how many people write me letters and say to me, well, your dad didn't do this and that. They don't know nothing. They weren't born in his house. They haven't heard him preach as many sermons as I did. I lived with the man. I know the man. And he would say, make Jesus number one, focus, things of God, and then right along with that, focus on the natural things that you have to do in the natural, because you got to live in a natural world and a spiritual world at the same time. You know, natural things, temporal things change. Tomorrow your situation could be completely different, but God and his thing and his words and his things never change. They stay the same. Focus on what lasts. You know, temporal things are here today, gone tomorrow. Instead of focusing on and worrying about things we need, focus and trust in God, and your needs will be met. I live it daily. We live it daily, Lynette and I. Number three. Instead of identify your God-given callings or talents and use them for your advantage, both spiritually and naturally. Don't let anything sidetrack you. We all have natural abilities and natural talents that we can take and use in the kingdom of God or in the church to help other people. Number four, establish boundaries and values that will keep your priorities right. You know, it's easy just to drift along in life, and if we're not careful, we get involved in things that doesn't matter. I have had, in years gone by, I had people get mad at me because I wouldn't get involved with the Feed the Hungry program. I said, that's great for them, but that's not what we at Rhema do. That's not our DNA. That's not what we do. God told us to go teach people faith by the printed page and by every other means. And that's what we do. You know, let's say, establish the boundaries and the values that keep you priorities right, both naturally and spiritually. I'm talking to people that a lot of you, or the majority of you, have careers and jobs and stuff. Well, there's priority. If you establish the right priorities there, you'll be successful. Establish the right priorities over here, you'll be successful. And you'll really be successful, because if you're successful on God's side, He'll make sure that you're successful on the natural side if you have the priorities right on the natural side. Yeah, I've had Rhema students years and years gone by. Used to, hey, they wasn't no admissions office. They were my office. That's where all the applications came into. That's where they paid the tuition. That's where grades were done. Everything was done in my office. You know. And so this boy comes to pay tuition. I don't have my tuition. It's years ago. Yeah, had to be years ago. Because we built that building in 79 and moved the admissions office there. And he told me, he said, well, I don't have no money. I said, well, get a job. Well, I can't find one. I said, you're lying. I'm there. Because I had just driven down, and Kenosha at that time was just a 2-lane road out there. And I had just driven down it, and I saw 3 businesses that had signs that said hiring. He said, oh, yeah, I know that people hiring, but they don't pay enough. Boy, then that really got under my collar. I said, are you crazy? Something is better than nothing. At least you can go get something until you can find more, a better job. He got mad at me and stormed out and left school. I'm serious. I trust that he has been successful and has learned something. But you're not going to get very far in the natural if you don't do the natural things. And how in the world can God bless him in the natural when he's not doing anything for God to bless? Come on. See, people who succeed in life, spiritually and naturally, establish a routine that keeps them on the right path with the right priorities all the time. Last of all, we all know this one, continually read the promises of God, believe them, and walk in them every step of the way. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just ministered to these people a few minutes tonight to try to get them to understand that if we just take the word and prioritize it in our lives, that we will be successfully both spiritually and naturally as we put everything together in line with your word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand, please. Praise the Lord. I like to just feel like on Wednesday night that I'm just sitting down having a conversation with you about things, because we all face, every one of us, just because I'm up here, I have to deal with the same thing. I have to keep my priorities right. You know, I mean, it's Wednesday's my study day. Okay. You know, there's the computer there. Oh, won't you go over and play his game? Come on now, don't look at me like that. All of you the same way. There's the phone. You got the phone. Hey, that's not what I do. In fact, I got a text today from a guy, and you know, he's wanting to text back and forth a little bit, and I finally did. I said, well, today's my study day, to let him know that, okay. But because he's a really good friend of mine, he understood it, and he said, have a good study time. So, but you see, we've got to, I mean, there, what I'm trying to say, there are things that will come in that will get you off course, unless you have set the boundaries and the parameters. Hello. Praise the Lord.